chat box in the lower left-hand corner, and this session is also being recorded and will be available after the presentations. In a recent survey among the Nonprofit Times subscribers, we discovered that just 11% of nonprofits use software systems specifically designed to manage online engagement, and roughly 1 in 10 nonprofits don't use any type of software to help them engage people online. Today's experts will discuss how you can benefit from using online engagement systems, the effect these systems versus multiple software packages can have on your organization's bottom line, and then we'll look at some actual results and examples from nonprofits who are currently using online engagement systems. Our session today is sponsored by the generosity of Salsa Labs. Our experts include Dirk Rinker, who is president and CEO of Campbell Rinker, who has been active in the areas of donor research and direct marketing analysis since 1983. Dirk has been with Campbell Rinker for 9 years, helping clients understand and act on attitudes, behavior, and preferences of their most vital constituencies. Previously, for 11 years, he was lead analyst for the Russ Reed Company, a direct response fundraising consultancy. Joining Dirk is Alex Dodds. As Communications Director of Smart Growth America, Alex helps to lead the movement for better urban development strategies nationwide. She was selected as a 2013 Next City Vanguard, an annual urban leadership gathering of the best and brightest young urban leaders working to improve cities across sectors. She has worked on over a dozen national campaigns, ranging from corporate accountability to convening local elected officials. When not working, Alex can usually be found exploring the ever-evolving Washington, D.C. Amy Sample Ward, whose dedication to education and supporting nonprofit and community organizations in using technology to make everlasting changes, brought her to N10 as the membership director in 2011 and then promoted to CEO in June of 2013. Whether it is by connecting individuals, organizations, campaigns, or possibilities, Amy hopes to facilitate the nonprofit technology sector transitioning into a movement-based force for positive change. She is a speaker, author, and trainer, having worked with groups and spoken at events around the world. To begin our session, Dirk.
Great. Thank you, John. I appreciate that introduction. And I'd like to kick it off by just talking a little bit about the background of the study that John mentioned that Campbell Rinker did for the Nonprofit Times. And our goal through examining this study and some of the case histories of the organizations in the nonprofit sector that we'll be talking about is to help you understand how nonprofits benefit from using online engagement systems, which a lot of techies call OES, and the effect that these systems can have versus multiple other types of software packages on a nonprofit's bottom line. And we'd like to share actual results and examples from nonprofits. You know, there are many common practices that nonprofits use in engaging donors. Which ones of these work best? What types of functions achieve the best ROI? What are the best practices in using online engagement strategies? We'd like to explore these things for you and help you understand some of the dynamics that exist in this area of nonprofit outreach. And beyond that, we'd like to help you understand the typical outcomes that exist for online engagement by nonprofits so you understand whether or not you're reaching the low end of the limbo bar, or whether you're, you know, slamming it home in the basketball hoop, so to speak. Let me describe some of the facts that surrounded this study. And as we remember from Dragnet, just the facts, ma'am, only give me the facts. Well, here we have more than 500 paid or volunteer development staff members who subscribe to NPT or otherwise engage in nonprofit technology, because we also went out to N10's list. And we asked them, you know, do you qualify to take this? And those who did work in some way on a development staff team were qualified. And what we did after that is when we got these results in, we weighted them so that we're not looking at some distorted view of the nonprofit spectrum. Per the National Center for Charitable Statistics, we weighted the data so that they accurately reflect nonprofit size and sector stats. So what we can tell from this is that the study delivers statistically significant results at a plus or minus 4.3% margin of error at the 95% confidence level. What that means is that basically 19 and 20 times, if we did this study again using the same dynamics, we'd achieve results within this margin of error. Now, there are let's describe the kind of things that we asked about. We asked about how the industry engages in online outreach. We want to know, essentially, how nonprofits reach, interact with, and engage with donors and members and advocates and alumni and any of those other audiences you might consider as valuable in an online environment. And one thing that we found out is that 9 in 10 nonprofits pursue online engagement. They pursue it in these ways. They use either email systems, like 56% of nonprofits doing online engagement, use systems like Constant Contact or MailChimp. And 34% use donor databases. They exploit the opportunities available in Blackbot or DonorPerfect or any of the other donor databases that are out there to help them pursue online engagement. Now, and there's a specific subcategory of online engagement systems, exemplified by eTapestry, NationBuilder, Salsa Labs, etc. Now, just about 11% of nonprofits do online engagement through these specially adapted online engagement systems. And basically, the online engagement system, or the OES, is a product that's designed to prioritize engagement and engagement mechanisms over the data management side of things. So who uses which of these types of systems? And for the purposes of simplicity, because we're talking about members and donors and alumni, et cetera, for the databases, we'll just call those DMMS, for donor and member management systems. So the donor member management systems are used by about 30% of organizations under $1 million of revenue, by about 46% of those between $1 and $10 million in revenue, and by 64% of those $10 million plus. So the larger the organization, the more likely they are to use a donor member management system. The larger the organization, the less likely they are to use an email system for online engagement. For instance, 60% of smaller nonprofits, those with less than $1 million in revenue, use an email system primarily for online engagement, compared to only 18% of those who are $10 million plus. And for the online engagement system segment, well, that's definitely weighted toward the $10 million plus segment. There's quite a few more, 80% more organizations in a $10 million plus category who use the online engagement systems compared to those in the $1 million and under revenue category. So you have 18% in that higher category using it compared to 10% in the lower category. But this doesn't describe the full complexity of what type of systems organizations use, because most organizations use multiple systems. And what we found is that organizations that don't use an online engagement system, and that's the majority of organizations, use three or more solutions to help them pursue their donor engagement, not just online engagement, but all their donor engagement. So they use multiple systems. In other words, there's 38% or so of organizations that don't use OES that use three or more solutions to do that. And there's 30% who use two solutions, and just 28% are using one solution to try and accomplish everything. And this compares to the OES users. OES users, there's 45% who just use one system. And there's about 10% who use two systems and about 40% who use three systems. And my guess is that's probably the larger organizations that have so many disciplines and so many platforms that they need to expand on that they need to use those multiple systems. So it does look like there's some efficiency gained from using OES systems. Nonprofits who don't use an OES are most likely to use three systems, and the nonprofits who do use an online engagement system are most likely to use one system for everything. Let's talk about ROI for a little bit. What we found here is generally the largest nonprofits earn the best ROI in any given fundraising effort, with the exception perhaps of acquiring new constituents and promoting social media sharing, those two categories that are way over there on the right. It's interesting, but we found from smaller organizations, those with less than $1 million in revenue, it seems like they could optimize their tactics somewhat. Because, as you see here, let me explain this slide a little bit. Over here on the left-hand side, this 0, 10, 20, the scale is what the nonprofits estimated their ROI is, like 20 to 1, 10 to 1, 5 to 1, 50 to 1. And there were some nonprofits who estimated 58 to 1 ROI on some types of fundraising. So this is their estimate of ROI level based upon the time and expense they put into different types of fundraising activity. What we found is that you can see the pale bars here, the tan bars or beige or however it shows up on your computer. Those are the smallest organizations, those with under $1 million in revenue. And you see here that they're reporting anywhere from 5 to 10 times the return on their investment for any of these fundraising efforts that they're putting forth. For instance, asking by email, they're seeing about a 5 to 1 return on investment. Compare that to the mid-sized nonprofits that are seeing a 20 to 1 return on investment from asking by email. So what we found is that a high percentage small organizations pursue tactics across the board without seeing corresponding ROI gains that are similar to those seen by larger nonprofits. And it seems like a right-priced online engagement system could help these organizations pursue tactics that generate better returns. Mid-sized organizations appear to be highly optimized because the types of investment they are putting into their fundraising and online engagement efforts tended to match very, very closely with the types of return on engagement that they're getting. What this suggests to us is that these organizations are really matching what they're doing with the kind of returns that they're getting. And in the biggest organizations, it's interesting, but the team fundraising events, those generate the highest return on investment for the largest nonprofits, yet only half of the group polled even pursues those team fundraising events. So it seems like if you're a large nonprofit and you're not doing a team fundraising type of event, if you're not promoting those, if you're not getting your a grassroots kind of involvement on a team event kind of basis, you could be missing the boat there. Let's move on from this slide. And another interesting thing that came out of this study is that smaller nonprofit professionals see online engagement as a basic thing that they accomplish. They see it as pretty simplistically, an online form and sending emails. So 45% of them see it that way when you're looking at the smaller revenue organizations. Another interesting thing that we found is that larger nonprofit professionals see online engagement as complex. They see it as something that's a complicated process that they'd rather leave to other people. So whereas on one hand, it's seen as simplistic, hey, we don't need to do that much in order to accomplish online engagement, just let's put together a mail platform and send out email and we're engaging people online. Well, in the largest areas, the largest nonprofits, it's a totally different dynamic. It is a complex, multidimensional structure that requires consistent maintenance. And in terms of the comparative benefits of online engagement systems, larger nonprofits are significantly more likely than smaller nonprofits to see donor management systems and online engagement systems as basically the same. Even though there tend to be, as we'll see later, there tend to be better returns on investment for those organizations that report using, for the 10% of organizations that report that they're using an online engagement system. And there, the organizations of all different sizes are pretty much agreed upon the fact that an email tool can do everything that an online engagement tool can do. But that isn't really borne out in the type of results that we see in this study. Because when we look at those who use online engagement systems in the dark green bar here compared to the donor databases in the mid-green bar compared to email systems, tend to generate the lowest return on investment. Those who are using email systems tend to generate the lowest return on investment. Those who are using donor and member management systems tend to generate a little bit better return on investment. However, it appears that the types of engagement tools, instead of database tools, the types of engagement tools that online engagement systems are geared to enable an organization to reach out using helped organizations to generate far better return on investment. Now, it should be clear that I should make clear at this point that during the study, nobody who took the study was made aware of what the end goal was. There was no advertising of, hey, we want to help promote online engagement systems. We just went out there to find out best practices and understand what the difference is between different organization types and different platforms was. What we came out with was this. When we simply asked people, what do you feel like your return on investment is from such and such a practice or from this other practice, they said, oh, I get 20-1, or I get 5-1, or I get 60-1. Well, when we look at it, we break out the results by the online engagement systems, by database systems and emails, this is what you come out with. And it was through no intentional design of our own that we came out to find this. Now, to provide you with a little bit of the technology side perspective of this, I'd like to turn it over to Amy Sample Ward here, who's with the N10 Nonprofit Technology Network. And sorry, Amy, I skipped over a couple of slides for you here, but let me just throw it over to you at this point. Thank you.
Sure. Yep. I'll move the slides. Thank you. It's interesting as you're going through those survey results. I'm just thinking about some of N10's research too, and the differences between small organizations and medium and large and very large, because I think from my experience and from organizations that we talk to in the N10 community, it's always this perception that if only we had more staff, right? If we were just a bigger organization and we had a lot more staff and we had a whole team, that could go do this work, but hopefully, I mean, I only have about 10 minutes to share, so maybe we'll ask more questions than share more answers, and would love for folks to chat in or use the hashtag and tweet out some of your ideas or questions as well. Um, but But ultimately, I think it isn't as much about having just more staff to do more work, but really being strategic with the technology that you're using. So talking for a few minutes about some observations kind of from the community, and then I'll talk specifically about what we do at N10, if that's helpful, before handing it over. One thing I see all the time is this kind of chicken or egg situation, which is, you know, well, if we don't have an engagement strategy, so we shouldn't bother getting the tools that would support that, as well as, you know, well, we already have these tools, so that means we have a strategy. Turns out, no. You can have every fancy tool that's available, but if you're not using it, it doesn't matter. And if you don't have a strategy, it doesn't matter if you do have those tools or you don't. You know, if you're not ready to really have a purpose and goals and pieces that you know you want to measure against to know how you're doing, then, you know, you can have a fancy tool, but you're not going to make a lot of progress. And an engagement strategy doesn't have to be, you know, a huge 5-year strategic plan that's approved by your board, but I do think that engagement strategies should be a component of all of these other campaign plans that you might have, communications plans for the year. They should be folded in as you're planning for how you're going to really drive your mission forward for the year or for the month, however you do planning. Recognizing how engagement is a part of that plan will also help you identify what technology needs need to be part of that plan for it to be successful. This is something that I see all of the time, which is, you know, we're all humans, I think everybody on the webinar today is a human, and when we are not at work, when we're at home or it's the weekend or whatever, we use technology so differently than we do when we're in the office. When we're at home or, you know, just not at work, I might be looking at my smartphone, checking an email. I might click through and read some article. I might open up Facebook and, you know, share a photo with people or post a photo to my timeline and then click through and read a different article from there. And we're not constantly sitting there saying, ooh, look at me. I'm going to open a separate application. Or, oh, I'm clicking through on this email. We're just using the tool as we want. You know, we might pick up our laptop and be, you know, looking up recipes for dinner while we're watching the evening news on the TV. We don't have to think about using these different channels and these different technologies. But then we show up to work and we create this a whole alternate universe where we're sitting in our meeting and we say, okay, today we're going to write this email and we're going to send it out to 10,000 people and you know, look at us washing our hands. What a great engagement strategy. Your supporters are not receiving your email and saying, wow, here is the email. Here is the single piece of communication that I needed to engage. And I think when we're talking about engagement software or databases that are dynamic enough that they're managing multiple engagement points or transactions with a single supporter, that's really what we're talking about, is recognizing that a single touch point, a single piece of communication is not probably going to be all that's needed for what we were talking about earlier with ROI, with return on investment. Sure, we can invest in sending out that email, but that's probably not what's going to really be successful for our overall campaign. We need multiple touch points, multiple channels integrated to understand what's working, what are the calls to action that people are responding to, and what isn't working so we can do less of those things. Which leads me to a bit of, leads me to a bit of talking about what we mean by engagement. So email is hugely important. At the end of the day, we can't control how many people are going to see that, you know, post that we put on Facebook, but we do have control over how many emails we send out and that they're going, for the most part, to people's inboxes. I think email is kind of the backbone piece along with your website as we're talking about engagement. But recognizing that an email that just is filled with text or a website page that's just filled with text, you know, that's not very engaging, right? So moving beyond just the story that you're trying to tell, the information that you're sharing, and giving people something to do about that information. Keeping in mind, of course, that the folks you're talking to when you're sending an email, you know, they're already on your email list. These folks are already following you on Twitter. They're already connected to you on Facebook, whatever channels you're using. What that means is that they get it, right? They've already bought in. They've already signed up for your emails. They've already followed you on Twitter. So your communications don't always have to be filled with text selling them on why you do great work. They know. That's why they're following you. So give them a way to be a part of the great work that you do. That's what the engagement piece is. So you don't have to sell them on why it's a great idea, but you can say, we know you get it, and here's what you can go do to help us reach our mission, to help us reach these goals, you know, whatever your campaign might be. So, of course, it's not always going to be the same because you're going to have different, you know, a different community than another organization. You're going to have different actions needed for your various campaigns. But thinking about petitions or polls, of course, donations are probably a part of that. Calls to share information or an infographic or a video. There's so many ways that you can let people be a part of those actions. And again, email and your website are core to giving people the path to do that, but again, you're going to need a way to track what's working, what isn't working, who's a super, you know, active supporter, and who hasn't received a call to action that really appealed to them. So in my last few minutes here, I wanted to share a little bit more tactically about what N10 does when it comes to engagement. For us, like I said before, email is really critical because we know that we can send that email out. We don't have to just, you know, send a tweet and wonder if anyone sees it. But for us, email isn't a kind of generic, general message. We want email to be really, really personal and really tailored to that individual community member, which means we need our database to be one that can really track dynamically the engagement of every single individual. Our email, because our website is tracking, we say source codes. I understand that's super jargony. But if somebody comes to our website and signs up for the newsletter, we want to know that there's someone who came to the website and signed up for the newsletter versus somebody who came to the website, registered for an educational program, and that's how they came into the community. Because we want to give somebody that's here to learn a welcome experience that's very different than somebody who's here maybe just to read content. And similarly, if somebody, their first point of entry with us is registering for our big conference, we want them to have a unique welcome experience with us that, again, is different than maybe someone who signed up for a webinar. So the website is where we're capturing that in the database, how someone came in, what that point of entry was, so that email can be really personal. Their thank you message, the next few messages they receive are all based on that point of entry and making sure they feel welcomed and oriented to what else they can do. So that third arrow there is building on what I was just saying. The way that we're segmenting that, of course, is point of entry, but once somebody's already in the system, right, we want to know, are folks continuing to do educational programs? Have they come to the conference every single year? Making sure that what they're seeing on the website, what they're receiving in emails, the kind of action that we're sending to them, you know, to share on Facebook or to post on Twitter, that all of that feels like a rich and, you know, related content to the history they've had with our organization. And that would be, of course, way too difficult to do if we were trying to, you know, kind of manually figure that out for 70,000 community members. So we really rely on a dynamic database that can track who's opening which messages, who's taking which actions, who's registered for certain events, and tailor the content on its own, you know, automatically to respond to those to those people. And I know I'm already at my 11:30 cutoff, so I'm going to hand it over now to Alex, but happy to continue asking or answering questions and encouraging folks to stay on the line. I think we have time for questions at the end. So over to you, Alex.
Thanks, Amy. Hi, everybody. My name is Alex Dodds. I'm the Communications Director at Smart Growth America. We're a national nonprofit in D.C. that advocates for better urban development. That's the general issue area that we work on, but hopefully what I'm going to talk about is going to apply to any nonprofit in any industry. And I'm basically going to give you all a tour of how we use an online engagement system as part of our work. Like I said, we're a national nonprofit, so a lot of what we do is building a big grassroots support network. Maybe losing my internet connection, but hopefully I'll be able to reconnect and flip through my slides. So,
Alex, do you want me to advance the slide for you?
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you, Amy.
Just to the next one?
Yep.
Great.
And I'm back on. Hooray. Okay. So the first thing that you see when you come to our website is this pop-up box that says Join the Movement for Smarter Growth. And this is exactly what Amy was talking about giving your visitors or your subscribers a way, or I guess at this point they're just a person who comes to our website, giving them a way to get involved with our work. So obviously they're already interested in the work that we're doing because they're coming to our website. And so the very first thing that they see is this pop-up box, and this is the first instance, the first touch point of our online engagement system. So you see the first name and email address boxes that allow you to sign up for our mailing list are tied to one of these comprehensive online engagement systems that Dirk and everyone else has been talking about. So this thing is the very first thing that you see, and it's the first, one of the most popular ways that people join our mailing list, and it's at the very, very front of our website. So you click through and come to our homepage, which has a lot of different things going on, highlighting some of the recent work that we've done. And our online engagement system is totally integrated into our homepage. We know that people coming to this page are interested in our work in a really general way. You know, they're probably coming to us for the first time. They're not very familiar with our work. So this page gives them an overview, and there's actually five different places where our online engagement system is built into this page. And we're going to play a little bit of game of can you find all five online engagement touch points in this page. But if you can't, I will show them to you. So the very first one, and Amy, I got my internet back, so I'm good to advance my
Great.
Slides. Thank you. So the very first one is up in the right-hand corner, and you'll see that it's just a pretty standard join our mailing list, first name, last name, email address. And when you click that sign up button, it takes you, it actually prompts you to another page that allows you to give us more information about you, you know, sort of your sub-interests, what specifically about our work you're interested in, as well as where you live, names of your pets. I'm just kidding on that one. But you could tell us all about yourself on the follow-up page, but this is a really basic sign-up form in the top right corner. And that follows users all through the website. So anywhere where you're going, no matter what page you're on, if you see something and you're like, oh, man, this is such an interesting thing, you can always sign up really easily in the right-hand side, in the top right. So the next point, touch point, is also the same idea. Join with us, add your name to the nationwide effort. And probably most of the folks listening, if you're using email constituent management system, if you're collecting names in a constant contact, email subscribers and managing your email lists are probably the way that the thing that you're using that system for the most. So these first two things, and actually the third one, the one that you saw at the very beginning also, so these first three things are all just giving people ways to sign up for our mailing list. But the great thing about a sort of more comprehensive online engagement system is that it lets you do more than that. So the third touch point that you'll see is make a donation. It's this next big red button moving down the page. And I probably don't have to explain to everyone listening the value of being able to know a lot about your donors. So if we know that they're on different email lists, that they have different interests, that's already, because we can have both of those things in the same system, that's already going to give us a lot of information about our donors and what they might be interested in and passionate about, which obviously helps when you're asking folks for donations. The fourth point where we can see our engagement system here is register for the launch of our recent report. So if it's a little tough to read, that's what that text says. But basically, we had a big report launch in June, and we had an online live stream where people could watch the live event that was happening in Washington, and we allowed them to register for that event through our online engagement system. So this is the fourth one. And the fifth one is this one up here, which maybe folks are familiar with or maybe they're not, but this is giving people away, our supporters away, to contact, to write a letter to their senators or their members of Congress. So, you know, and all five of these things are going back, are feeding back into the same system, which just provides a really robust set of data for us, as well as, you know, makes it easier for the people who are using, who are supporting our work, for our supporters to interact with us. So I'm going to just talk a little bit about where each of these things go. Basically, the benefit for our supporters is twofold. One is that, so this is what our subscription page looks like when you sign up for our mailing list. This is the page that it looks like. And one of the big benefits for our users is that the system is very consistent. So no matter if you're subscribing or donating, this is our donation page, or sending a letter to your member of Congress, you'll see that all of the pages are very consistent. They have a consistent look and feel because they all use the same template, because they're all part of the same system. They're built in the same system. And it also remembers you across pages. So it says, oh, welcome back, Alex. You know, we remember just from your past browsing history that you've been to this website before, that you have already signed up for our mailing list, and it auto-populates some of the fields for our users, which just makes for a more convenient experience for them. And I would be remiss to not point out that this all is also tied to our email blast system. So this tour that I'm giving you is of our website, which gives you a really great understanding and sort of an overview of all of the different places and pieces where we use this type of system. But we also, email blasts are obviously also a huge part of this work, probably the thing that we use the most frequently in the system. And obviously, we are able to tailor emails, like Amy was talking about. We're able to make email blasts really personal based on the subject matter that our users are passionate about, the emails that they've opened before. We know whether they've taken actions to send letters to their member of Congress. We know whether they've donated. We have all of that information all in one place. And that brings me to my next point, which is what's in it for me, the nonprofit digital communications hero. And basically, this is the case to you all who are listening. Why would you want to be able to listen to all, to use this system? So basically, I want to introduce you to Paul, one of our supporters, and his friend Ringo. As you can see, they are big advocates for safe pedestrian crossings, which is one of the issues that we advocate for. And basically, we can see, because all of this information is integrated into one system, we see all of these points about Paul, the supporter. So we know that he's interested in our issues because he's on our mailing list. We know that he pays attention because he's opened our blasts. We know that he registered for a webinar. We know that he wrote to his senators about our issues. And so we probably know that he might join us for an in-person event, or that he would be willing to make a donation, just because of all of this information that we can see about one particular supporter. We can also see a lot of information and get a better understanding of our supporters as a whole, of all of our supporters. So we know that transportation issues do really well, that when we send email blasts about transportation-specific issues, those get the most opens. We know that lots of people are interested in lots of our issues. So there's sort of a nexus of people who are passionate about multiple issues that we advocate for. We know that a lot of the folks on our list are professionals. They like detailed technical information. They know how much they're going to donate. So this is all information that we can glean about our supporters in the aggregate, because we have this integrated system that we use. And, you know, it's because we have this integrated system where the actions and the donations and the emails and the constituent, you know, the individual record management is all in one place. And basically, ultimately, this is true for me, I'm sure it's true for everyone, it's about achieving our mission better. that, you know, this is all great. It's a lot of, I know a lot of information and buzzwords that maybe works or maybe doesn't, but basically at Smart Growth America, we've identified building a large grassroots network as one of our organizational priorities. And having an online engagement system like this allows us to achieve that, which is an important part of our work building great neighborhoods. This is Milwaukee's Third Ward, which is one of the neighborhoods made possible by the public policies that we advocate for at Smart Growth America. So I'll end there, but I'll second Amy's point that if anyone has questions, I'd be happy to answer them in the Q&A section.
Great. Thank you very much, Alex, and a thank you to Dirk and to Amy for great presentations. And we do have some really interesting questions. The first one goes to Amy and Alex, and that's about the pop-up box asking for registration at the beginning of your web page. Do you find that these are intrusive, and can a person bypass them, go directly into the site without having to sign in?
Yeah, I can answer that, and I'll click back to the slide that has the photo of that, hopefully, if it lets me. The pop-up box, yeah, it has a little closeout X at the top right, so it's easy to just close over it. And I don't know if I can.
I got it up for you, Alex.
Oh, thank you. So you see that you can always just close out of it, and it's designed to only pop up every so often. I think we set it to once a month, and it's based, if you're a technical person, it's based on cookies in your browser, which many websites use. So it recognizes if you've only been to our website, if it's been a long time since you've been to our website, it'll pop up. But if you come every day, it's not popping up every day. So hopefully folks don't find it intrusive. But, you know, that said, like as I mentioned when I was discussing it, it is one of the most effective. It's one of the biggest ways that we get folks to join our mailing list is this pop-up box.
Great. The other question is about the registration and fundraising features for engagement systems. Can they be accessed from a mobile device?
Oh, that's a great question. I think it probably differs from system to system. I know that it's possible to donate, that there's a mobile version for donating. I don't know if there's a mobile version for the back end for administering and sort of looking at your donations. But like I said, it probably differs from system to system.
Great. The other question we have is, can you give examples of team fundraising events, since you mentioned that was really important for engagement?
Sure. A team fundraising event, not different nonprofits might have a different interpretation of this, but a team fundraising event is basically when you have one donor who's reaching out to a bunch of others and saying, hey, can you sponsor me? Can you help me complete this run? Do you want to come on the night walk with me? Do you want to gather together and we'll all go collect some food and give it to the food pantry? That type of thing. So it's a team event that one of your donors or volunteers organizes, and you know, can be joined by multiple people who are all going toward the same focus. They're all working toward the same purpose.
Thank you, Dirk. Alex, this one is another follow-up to the pop-up box, and it's, have you ever measured whether the first sign-up box is well-liked? Some people think that if you just X out, it may keep people from going into your site altogether.
Well, if you X out of the box, it just takes you to our homepage. So I don't worry about folks losing folks for that reason. And in terms of how well it's liked, all I can say is, you know, the results speak for themselves. We get lots of signups through it. But if you come to our site regularly, it's designed to not be intrusive. So if you come back, the first time you come, it pops up, but the next couple times you come, it doesn't. It just leaves you alone.
Amy, this question is for you. Do you, for OES website tools, do you receive a normal set of deliverables, or do you have to have a web developer create them in terms of measuring engagement through the email systems and the other team fundraising events?
I do not understand that question.
They want to know if it's a package deal. For instance, Alex, they want to know what kind of system Smart Growth America uses or what platform you use. And is it something you developed or is it an off-the-shelf package that you buy?
It's a little bit of both. So our website, most of our website is built on WordPress, which is an open source free software. The online engagement system that we use is Salsa. And I've used several systems in the past. I like Salsa a lot. But basically, you can use an off-the-shelf version. Both of those platforms work straight out of the box. What is custom is the way that it looks. So obviously, if you see our website, it has our logo and our, you know, branded colors and the layout that we like. That's the part that you know, takes a web developer working with you to do. And it's, you know, the systems are so common and easy to use, both of those systems, that it's probably a relatively doable contract for a small nonprofit to hire a web developer to build a website and integrate an online management system in it, in the way that Smart Growth America has here.
Great.
If it's okay, I just want to add or at least call out a little bit of what Alex shared there that I think is important to note is that everything you do is not going to be one system. Your website, your database, your email, like it's not realistic to think that all of that is 100% one magical login tool. So Alex said they have Salsa as their database, as their engagement system, and then they have WordPress running their website. What's important when you're evaluating tools is that ability to integrate them, not thinking that it's going to be, you know, that Salsa is also creating the website and managing that if that's what the engagement database is. So just a note to call out there as you're reviewing different systems based on what website software you already have or how you're currently using email. If you want to keep those systems, that's fine, but just looking with a priority on integration.
Amy, you mentioned in your presentation about the reliance on email and how important it is, but several listeners have said that it's getting harder for people to open up their email just because of all the competition. And do you have any recommendations on how to use it effectively given the fact that lower open rates are being experienced?
Sure. I think there's a number of strategies or best practices around email. One is to make sure that you're cleaning your list. There's no special award that's given out for just having 10,000 extra people on your list if they don't ever open your emails. So if those are emails that are always bouncing or people haven't opened a message from you in over a year, that's probably not an email that you should consider a real contact anymore. So having a regular every 6 months or every 12 months a message that goes out to every email address that has not opened a message in a year that says, hey, we are excited that you joined our list, but, you know, if you want to stay, let us know. If not, that's totally fine, you know, no hard feelings, but we don't want to be burdening your inbox. I see that really does help people either feel like it's okay to get rid of those contacts, you know, or you don't have to delete them permanently, but stop emailing them, or get people re-engaged because they reconsider why they haven't been opening those messages. Another best practice around email seems a little counterintuitive, but many organizations don't message their list very often. So if you're emailing people once a month, once every 6 weeks, whatever that kind of longer period may be, when someone does receive your email, they don't remember who you are. They don't remember that they signed up with you. That's not to say you need to email them every day, but recognizing that there can be different kinds of communications. Alex, I'm sure that Smart Growth has the same system as N10 where we have a regular newsletter, but that's a very different type of content than sending out a promotion for a specific event coming to their city, which is only going to those people, separate from another, you know, communication about a new research report that's going to people that like research reports. So recognizing you can have more frequent communication and have it not go to every single person on the list every time.
Great. And we also have one interesting question about whether any of you have had experience integrating DonorPerfect with WordPress or Drupal.
I have not worked with Donor Perfect.
Great.
I have also not.
Okay. I want to thank Alex, Amy, and Dirk for a great presentation. There were a lot of great takeaways on online engagement strategies. And so personal thanks to all of you for your expertise and to our audience for listening. And you may now disconnect your headsets. Thank you, everyone.